Get to work informed with Larry Richard and John Shumway in the KDKA Morning News right now. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
You're listening to The Voice of Pittsburgh. This is News Radio 1020 KDKA at 712. Larry Richard with John Shumway.
And we are continuing to monitor the situation out of the nuclear power plant in Japan. The United Nations forecast now saying that the initial portions of the radioactive plume should reach the Aleutian Islands on Thursday and California possibly late Friday. Now, we're talking about a week from now, but they're expecting it to come in at such low levels that it really won't be a big deal. And this morning, Larry, the Japan's Nuclear Safety Agency said that they are now comparing what's going on at Fukushima with what happened at Three Mile Island.
And Mike Pintek, our own Noon to 3 host on KDKA, was there. Mike joins us on the morning show. Mike, obviously, that was a huge story, and the United States' first look at what might happen in a situation involving a nuclear power facility.
Yeah, it remains the worst nuclear accident in the United States. But, you know, when they make these comparisons between what's happening right now in Japan and Three Mile Island, I mean, there are some comparisons, but in the larger field of view here, there are really no comparisons. I mean, Three Mile Island was not hit by an earthquake. It was not hit by a tsunami. There were no fires. There was no breach of the containment building. There was one explosion, but it did not really damage the containment building like you've got at those reactors in Japan. I mean, what has happened to Japan? I don't know how they're ranking it. Equivalent to Three Mile Island. That's kind of weird. I'm not understanding exactly why they're ranking it that way, but I guess they know more than I do. But the similarities are that, and I noticed this earlier this week. In fact, I was talking about it on my show, that during Three Mile Island and during this incident, you've got the government, you've got the power company, you know, saying paradoxical things. And one minute everything's under control, everything's fine, there's no danger off site, which is like that was one of the terms that they used during Three Mile Island. There's no danger off site, and the next minute you would hear plumes of radiation, off site radiation, radiation levels are high. No, they're low. No, they're high. No, you should evacuate. No, you shouldn't. And it's driving people crazy in Japan. They've got the triple whammy there: the tsunami, the earthquake, and now this. And here's something that a lot of people haven't even thought about yet. When this is all over, these people are going to suffer mental anguish. The post-traumatic stress syndrome is, you know, to put a label on it, but what's going to happen here is they are under so much stress right now. I just can't imagine it. I know what we went through during Three Mile Island, but that was nothing compared to what they're going to be facing.
Hey, Mike, for those who aren't familiar with your connection back to the incidents at Three Mile Island, give us the Reader's Digest version.
Okay. All right. Well, on that particular morning, it was a Wednesday morning. I'll never forget. It was before 8 o'clock in the morning. The police scanners had some chatter about an emergency at Three Mile Island. So now I'm thinking, oh, maybe they've got a fire, you know.
And you were working at a radio station in Harrisburg?
Yeah, I was the news director, and we did a co-anchored morning show. We had a really large news team, and we were a very highly listened to station. They're a very popular, highly rated station. So a lot of people paid attention to us. And I made a call to Three Mile Island thinking that they had a fire. Well, a woman answers the phone. Apparently, she was like the receptionist or something.
Oh, geez.
And I found out all this later, but she accidentally puts me through to the control room of the reactor. Now, a man answers. I think he said control room. I'm not even sure. I wasn't even sure then what he said. There was all this racket in the background. And I'll never forget this. And I told him who I am, and I asked him something innocuous, you know, what's going on there? And he says, I can't talk now. We've got a problem. And I will never forget that. So then I said, well, do you have fire equipment over there? And there's like this long pause. And in retrospect, and he says, no, we don't have any fire equipment. In retrospect, I'm thinking, here's this poor guy. He's trying to wrestle this reactor. He's, you know, in the control room. He's trying to get it under
and
control.
He's talking to Mike Pintek.
And here's this guy. Here's this news guy who's saying, hey, do you got a fire over there? And the guy's like pausing and saying, oh, my God, do we have a fire too? Are you kidding me?
And then you say, even as a reporter, this emotionally affected you years after the fact.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, first of all, I was married at the time, and my then wife went south to her mother's place. But she was still, you know, pretty much in the vicinity. But she was down, you know, south of Harrisburg in York, Pennsylvania, staying there. And I was pretty much alone and covering the story. And we realized very early on that we needed to, instead of, you know, rushing out to cover stories all the time, we had to staff the newsroom 24/7, which we did not do on a regular basis. And so everybody had to take shifts, and I took big shifts because I was the boss, and I, you know, felt that I should do what I should do. So I, in between, you know, trying to do the news and trying to cover this ever-changing story with its ups and downs and catastrophic warnings and, you know, oh, and then everything's okay. You know, you're up and down, and trying to get sleep and having fire sirens going off at all kinds of odd times of the night. For about 10 years after that, I could not get a good night's rest. The slightest sound would wake me up.
Wow.
And that's how it affected me. That's a minor effect compared to, I think, what some people in Japan are going to be facing.
Yeah, you said, you're right. It's not just this. It's the devastation of the tsunami and the earthquake.
And the quakes continue.
And this, you know, saga continues with this radioactive issue and what's going to happen next.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing I want to mention too is during the incident, you know, the mental anguish there. Here, I remember tearful, you know, moments where you're helpless because you're being told by the government, well, we got everything under control, but it's really not under control. You're being told that, oh my God, there's a hydrogen bubble inside the reactor vessel that could explode. And that will be the ultimate disaster, and it will spew radiation that will annihilate everything in the in an area the size of Pennsylvania. And then you're being told, oh, no, there's no danger. Don't worry. There's no imminent danger right now. And you're up and down, and the anguish there is that this is totally beyond your control. You are at the mercy of this machine that has gone haywire, and you get the feeling that you're being lied to. In fact, I think we were lied to at various points by the utility company at that time, and you just feel totally helpless, and there's nothing you can do. You can't do any. You can't even see the stuff coming at you.
Yeah, that's
you know?
it's yeah. an unseen
it's the unknown.
Danger, right? Mike
exactly.
Pintek, noon to three today. Mike, we appreciate you jumping on with us this morning. Thanks,
thanks, guys.
Much more to come. It's 7:19 at KDKA.